Welcome back, listeners. I got a hell of a story for you this week. That's personal, because this time, it's all my story. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Dee, here to update you a little bit on what's been going on with me, and therefore what's been going on with the show. I know it's been around 5 months since you last heard from me. Last thing I posted was in August. I'd like to explain what's been going on with me during that time, and maybe therefore explain what's been going on with the show, and what will be going on with the show, should I choose to continue doing it. So, back in August, I posted a short video explaining that I wasn't going to be doing these on a weekly basis anymore. My explanation was that I thought the quality of the show suffered by me trying to force to do one every week. I'd never intended to do one every week, and I thought the quality had dipped over the last few. Now, that was really only about half true. What was actually going on at the time, and I talked about this on a few of the shows, if you listen to them, you might have heard them, is I was looking into taking a job overseas, and I had a lead, and I was ready to take it, and I was afraid that if I took the job, that I would not have the time or the capability to do the show at all, so I didn't want to commit myself. And it turns out I didn't have either the time or capability to do the show. But, a fact of the matter is, the job didn't work out. It was supposed to last for a year. I only spent 3 months over there. I've been back for a while. I've been kind of questioning when and how I want to do this. I'd like to talk a little bit about what happened, because I try to do these topics over not only issues of interest, but things that I think might be useful to my audience. And this might be useful, at least to the younger people out there who might be considering doing what I did. Those of you who followed me know that a few years back, after I got out of college, I spent a year overseas teaching. And when I got back, I just had a hell of a time. Yeah, I got back right in the middle of the recession. I kind of hoped that the year would get me through this. I'd be able to get back and get another job. Obviously, that didn't happen. Eventually, I started looking. I took another job overseas doing the teaching thing. And what I thought I could pull off was avoiding the mistakes I made last time, which I really didn't. I spent 6 months looking. I turned down, I think, 3 offers before this one. Considered a lot more that just didn't work out at all. And I finally found what I thought was a really good company, but that didn't quite turn out. You know, part of the reason I've actually been waiting to do this is I was so pissed off when this happened. You have no idea. I mean, I was furious. I was heartbroken over really everything that happened, and kind of didn't want this to. I didn't want this to end up being 20 minutes of me cursing out my old company. So I tried to wait a little while so that I could have a little bit of objectivity on it, but not so long that it would be, you know, completely callous to it. I suppose I should get into a little history for those of you who maybe don't know that much about what I've been doing. Where I used to work before, I worked in a city called Chongqing. This was a few years back. I worked in a city in the north of the People's Republic of China called Chongqing. And I went over there with a private company. I didn't stay with them for very long. I moved over and I started working for another private company that contracted me out to local public schools, mostly in a few private schools as well. And that really didn't work out. It was a marvelously crooked company. I've actually written quite a bit about it. I've been writing down all my experiences. I've been working on a book for a couple of years. I've got several chapters of it online if you'd like to read about it. I'll have the address up so you can find it. The long and short of it was, when I started looking into doing this again, I was hoping to avoid the mistakes I'd made the first time. First time, I really didn't know what I was doing. I was just really excited to do this. I'd kind of bought into that whole experience of a lifetime thing. And one of the things I hope you realize as you listen to me here and if you read my stuff later is that, for the most part, that's a crock of shit. But I really bought into it. I just kind of went with the first company I found, and then the first company after that, and it didn't work out. So again, I spent 6 months in this when I found what I thought was a really good company. Now, what it was is I really, really did not want to work in private learning centers. Private English learning centers are a nightmare. The only good thing they have is they pay really well, but beyond that, the hours are horrible. You don't get a normal weekend, of course. Most of them still offer 2 days off. If you're lucky, they'll be together, but it won't be a regular weekend. So that can obviously be a bit of a crippling to one's social life if you do have a social life outside of the office. And there is an office. It's very, very white collar, and it really wasn't my thing. I kind of wanted to work in the schools this time, and hopefully more closely with the schools, which I'd worked in public schools before, but I was always going through this other company, this bunch of crooks, so that didn't really work out so well. But I had this company where they ended up putting me in two public schools, and I thought that'd be really cool. The only problem I had is I really don't like working with kids. They promised me they were going to put me with high schoolers, who, high schoolers are kind of a pain in the ass, but fine, I can do that. And turns out they lied to me. That was the first time they lied to me, is they actually ended up putting me with younger kids, which wasn't, it isn't so bad, honestly. That's the other problem with working in private centers, by the way, is it's all like real little kids, like kindergartners and preschoolers, and it's an absolute nightmare to work with kids that age. Now, the places this company had me working with were more in lines of what, in not in the United States, but in some countries would be called primary school. Here we're talking elementary and middle. So where I was working this time, I was still in the PRC. This time I was working down south, a city called Suzhou. It's what, about 30 or 40 miles away from Shanghai. It's got the location. It was really, really lovely city. And again, as when I wrote all that nasty shit about Chongqing, I really kind of felt bad, because there are a lot of things to like about the city. It's clean. It's really inexpensive to live there, and it's really a nice looking city. It's just crooked as shit. And I kind of ran into the same problem in Suzhou. I don't think corruption was the problem so much this time. I think the company may have been a little bit mismanaged, but it's kind of a mystery to me. I don't know why this job didn't work out. It wasn't, I'll just tell you right off, I didn't necessarily care for the job. It was not my dream job. It was really quite stressful. But I did get fulfillment out of doing it. It paid very well, and with a few snags here and there, I never got any whiff of corruption. Again, it was all just kind of mismanagement in terms of like a lot of my requests not going through. But at first, it seemed like a good opportunity. It's a great city, again, even if the climate's kind of a bitch for me. You know, being down near that equatorial area, it's hot and humid most of the year, and that was, yeah, not really my. I guess it beats the hell out of freezing to death up by Siberia, but I prefer the cold to the hot anyway. Company can't do anything about that, though. With the company, my main problems with them had to do with my interactions with the school. I didn't work as closely with the schools as I thought I would. They had me working, as I said, in two schools in what was referred to as the Suzhou Industrial Park, which is basically a region of the city they've been modernizing for about the last 15 years. It's got a partnership with Singapore, I believe. Anyway, it's odd place to live. It's almost all offices, and it's just not as convenient as some of the places I've lived. On the other hand, I did probably have the single nicest apartment I've ever had in China. It was fantastic. I can't believe they set me up in there. I had a roommate, but it wasn't that big a deal. But so I was working in two schools in this area, which again were both. I worked with 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th grades. I had 23 classes a week. Average class size was about 40 students. Stuff like this is the reason I always laugh when I hear about classroom overcrowding in the United States, because inevitably they're talking about like 25 students. I would have killed to have a class with 25 students. And we're talking 40 might even be underselling. I counted a few classes about 40, but some of them were definitely bigger than that. Anyway, so 3rd through 6th grade, so we're dealing with about 7 to 12 in terms of the age category. Each class was 40 minutes. I had up to 6 a day. Standard 5-day week. It was fairly long, but fortunately, on Wednesdays I only had 2 classes, so that gave me a little break during the week, which I appreciate greatly. It's when I did my shopping. Beats the hell out of trying to fight those crowds on the weekend. Anyway, I'll tell you, one of the reasons I don't like children in general, but the real reason I don't like working with these younger age categories is you really have to have the lesson plan written in advance. This is kind of one of the problems they had. They actually gave me, and I've got this lying around somewhere, just a second. They gave me a schedule of what they wanted. They gave me a series of books for each of the grades, and then they gave me a schedule pointing out what they wanted me to do in all these classes. Now, from my previous experience, I know that I know that you don't want to follow these too closely. I've had trouble with that, so those are some of the first questions I asked, is how carefully they wanted me to hew to this. Normally, what they go on is they say, you want to use that as a basis, introduce some games, and then PowerPoints. So obsessed with PowerPoints, believe it or not, they came back to bite me in the ass later on. But what I had, though, is it seemed pretty simple. You know, kids that age, usually those classes are pretty easy to do. You do a short activity or you ask them some questions, and then you play a game with them, like Hangman's usually the one they like the best, but also Pictionary or any number of other things, if they can understand the rules. And then class is over. It's just 40 minutes, and it's short, and it's not too painful. Where I ended up running into my first problems is where the schedule ended up being kind of confusing. I'm going to use the grade 4 schedule here. So this thing, it's listed by the week, and each lesson is supposed to last 2 weeks. So, oddly enough, they did not have me go through the book just in order, not chapter 1 to chapter 2, chapter 3, and on and on. Here's what my grade 4 schedule says. The first 2 weeks, I'm doing lessons on Unit 2. The next 2 weeks, I'm doing lessons on Unit 4. The next 2 weeks, lessons on Unit 6. They're all pretty much like this. Let me go find another one. Here's grade 5, first 2 weeks, Unit 2. Next 2 weeks, Unit 6, then Unit 7. This ended up, here's actually how this really screwed me over. It turns out, and I had to talk to the local teachers for a while before I figured this out, they actually do one lesson every 2 weeks, which is about, that's actually the rate I saw in the handful of public schools I've worked at before. They do one lesson every 2 weeks. In this case, they're, for some reason, having me jump around. And I figured that was because the schools, and this is listed as the standard for the SIP area schools. The schools were all standardized to do these particular lessons. I don't know. You know, you find out they use these books, and then no one really likes the books all that well, so they only use certain lessons out of them. It's kind of what you tend to see. I've seen it before. I saw it here. In this case, though, that wasn't what was actually going on. They were going straight through the lessons, Unit 1, Unit 2, and so on. So, inevitably, I'd have to plan these things out in advance, obviously. I'd be an idiot not to. And several times a week, I would walk into a classroom, I would start going through the lesson. This actually happened really bad in grade 5. I told you that starting with the third week, they wanted me to do Unit 6. My students didn't understand a goddamn thing I was saying. Nothing. No recognition. I wasn't getting anything back from them. Finally, I asked the teacher, who's in the classroom, if they're up to this lesson yet, and she says, no, they're only on lesson 2. So I had to make something up on the spot, which I did. But I really wasn't pleased with having to do that. I tried bringing that up with my bosses, and the bosses were definitely the problem. The problem I've found with working at places like this is the bosses are just, they're bureaucrats. None of them are teachers. Most of them have never been teachers at all. So really, they're just going off what I send them. Most of what they do is file. Because the money, you don't know how this works. The money actually comes from the government, and then they parcel it out to me. But ultimately, they don't have any idea of what's going on in the classroom unless one of them sits in, which happened to me a couple times. I ended up getting really contradictory advice from the people I was working under. The first time I was in there, I remember, I ran through what I felt was a fairly standard lesson. What I did was, for a class like this, I think this was, what was I doing that day? Third and fifth grade, I think, was the lessons that day. What I'd do with the students is I'd go through and I'd introduce the words, which they should already know, because in theory we're reinforcing what they already know, although I'll tell you later what we're actually doing there. And then I'd go through and I'd ask them the question. Usually I wouldn't just ask them directly. I'd pick out two of them and they talk to each other, and that's reinforcement. And then I'd maybe introduce some of the little bits. Usually there's enough – content varies greatly, but if I'm lucky, there's enough content so I can introduce another, maybe a grammar point, and then I can introduce some new words, and hopefully they'll learn the new words. And then ask them questions again, and then we'll do a game. So that's what I was doing this time, and the administrator that sent from the company to watch me told me she couldn't actually tell me. That's always the biggest pain in the ass. They have complaints, but they can never really quite articulate them in terms of what they think I'm doing wrong or what they think I should do differently. One of the things she told me, though, is I should play more games. And the next time she came to watch me, which turned out to be one of the last days I worked for them, the complaint she had for me, I was playing too many games. I apparently hadn't hit the sweet spot with these kids, which I tried explaining this all to them, but they don't understand. And that is consistently the problem with working for these companies, is no one who works there really gets what's going on in the classroom. In fact, because this is such, it's a massive, massive school district. I mean, we're talking dozens of schools in here probably. Nobody really knows what's going on, all of them. The only people who know are the people I work with. Generally, in theory, there's supposed to be the local teacher in the room with me every time, but that's not always the case. I would say in any given week, about one class in three, there was no one in there but me, and that's pretty much a wasted class. Most of the rest of the time, I didn't get any support from rare occasions I'd get some support. Mostly, it's because at each of the two schools I worked at, there was kind of one teacher who was supposed to help me out, and generally, those classes ran a little better, because they could tell me, for instance, what their class knew. That was the other big pain-in-the-ass problem, is I'm doing, like, for instance, the lion's share of my classes were the third graders. I had 9 third-grade classes a week in 2 schools, and the skill levels of these classes are all over the place. Now, my solution to that, and I thought this was an elegant solution, was basically to have a more open schedule. I didn't necessarily chart out every little thing I was going to do. What I'd have is essentially I'd write down for myself a series of activities that I thought could work. And then I'd go through the activities, and if they worked, then good, and I'd have extra material left over at the end, which is always appreciated if you're still going when the bell rings. But if it didn't work out, if it turns out they weren't advanced enough to do it, I could just move on to a new activity. And I thought that was an elegant solution to it, but obviously my bosses disagreed with me. On that, the consistent complaint was that my schedule wasn't tight enough. And I try to explain to them that if I write a schedule in stone and one part of it doesn't work, then I'm screwed. I have to make something on the spot. And my ability to do that is somewhat limited when I'm dealing with students at these level. The other problem, and I alluded to this earlier, is they got pissed off because I wasn't using PowerPoint presentations enough. I actually started using PowerPoint presentations on a regular basis, and then they got, I guess, really upset because I didn't send them to them along with my my lesson plans. I really didn't think I had to do that. There really wasn't much I could do. The only thing you can really do with PowerPoint students this age is show them pictures of the thing and then words underneath them. In theory, that's another one of those things we're supposed to be doing in theory, is teaching them new words, which I had a lot of trouble with that. Some classes really, really got it. I was actually kind of amazed by just how much variety there was in the skill level of these classes, especially like the fifth graders. Like the fifth graders at one of the schools, actually, let's go the other way. Fifth graders at the first school I had a week, which is supposed to be the best school in the area, were really awful. They really just didn't know all that much. Then I get to the other fifth grade, and what's supposed to be the not as good school, and they were actually really sharp. A lot of them already knew everything I had to say, and they were eager to learn more. It's just there's a huge amount of variation in there. So if I'm lucky enough to get in one of the classes, they're a little more eager and a little more skilled, and really to the point, just a little more confident. Usually it's a matter of confidence with these kids. I can teach them a few new words. But in other cases, I had teachers get upset at me for trying to teach them new words on the grounds that they didn't know the words in the lesson already. Needless to say, that's what the office telling me that I needed to be teaching them new words. This is one of the things I had to do. So I do it, and then what? One reason or another, I'd always get in trouble. That's the amazing thing was the scope of reasons that would get me complaints. I had one time the office called me in to complain because I was drawing on the blackboard too much. What I'd done is with kids that age, is a lot of times kids that age respond better to images. And I wasn't using the PowerPoint presentation as much as I should have, clearly. So I was just drawing animals. Actually, I was doing a little kind of Pictionary type thing. I'd draw animal on the board and I'd find out if they knew, because you'd be surprised. What some of these kids know, I assume that these are the kids whose parents are taking them to get lessons in the private learning centers. It's some of the things they know that they picked up. I thought that was interesting. Obviously, my bosses disagreed with me on that point. I don't know what their obsession with PowerPoint presentations was. I guess because it's higher tech than using the blackboard, so therefore you have to use whatever's the highest tech solution. You know what? That's not necessarily the case. Yeah, I'm glad the computer's there. I'm glad that I can take my little flash drive, and if I have a lesson plan that actually uses something like this, and I did a few times, then it's nice to have around. Like when I was doing a lesson on, oh god, that's the other thing. This lesson plan, it only partially went off the book. It actually didn't want me to make things up, which is good. You can do that with older students, with like the college students I work with a few times. You can just make things up that they're interested in. Obviously, you can't do that with 10-year-olds. So instead, they had suggestions for things I can do when I ran out of material in the book, which were things like classical fairy tales and knowledge about computers. Computers, yeah, I'm going to talk to them about I.O. ports, that's going to be great. But fairy tales, I actually tried to do a fairy tale lesson once. I did it with the fifth graders because some of the fifth graders were a little more advanced. So what I did is I found a few, fables, some Aesop stuff. I did The Shepherd Boy and the Wolf, I did The Tortoise and the Hare, stuff like that I thought they could understand, and they couldn't. And what's really hilarious is when I left the company and they were bitching me out, I showed them the slides I used for this, because I did use slides. I found pictures of all these things. They also had a thing about sayings, so what I did is I had sayings. They have what in Chinese are called the four character idioms, which in a lot of cases line up with more conventional Western expressions. So I'd have the Western expression, what it meant, and then I'd have the four character idiom that I found that was the closest to it. And I'm showing them all this stuff, and one of them asked me, "You did this for adults?" No, I did this for the fifth graders because it's listed on my fifth grade schedule. They got upset. They thought I was blaming it too much on the schedule. You know what? You're goddamn right I'm going to blame it on the schedule. When the schedule has me going in to classes on a regular basis with a lesson plan that's grossly inadequate, that's the other problem with having these lesson plans written in stone. Because after the first few times that happened, I was terrified that I was going to have this really finally laid out lesson plan, and I was going to walk into the classroom and get blank stares and have to make something up on the spot. To me, it's easier if I'm a little bit flexible. So if I'm forced into that situation, I've got something else to go on. Really, any time I was forced into that situation, I'd have to kind of adapt the lesson plan for another class, usually one that I made up partially myself, like we did a thing on Western holidays, which was interesting. I actually thought that was a good lesson. I don't think all the students got it, though. That's a consistent problem is the students don't get it. Actually, the consistent problem, and I really should have known this. This one of the things I discovered while I was working over there, and afterwards when I was after I left that job, I actually tried to find another one over there and didn't really have much luck. There were loads of openings. Tons and tons. If you want to work overseas teaching ESL, there are tons and tons of job opportunities. It's crazy. The problem is most of the job opportunities are terrible, and most of them are pretty similar to this. A lot of them because I didn't want to work with little kids. But even then, the problem is, and I actually saw this outright in some of the ads I looked at, is that really, ostensibly we're over there to reinforce what they already know. We're over there because they want to teach the students pronunciation, which is why I did a lot of this stuff. Actually, complaints varied to me talking too much and not talking enough, so that was another pain in the ass for me. But that's kind of theoretical. You know, the real reason we're over there is because they need Caucasian faces on these things. That is absolutely the only reason they need foreign teachers. Because I've, since then after that, I actually sat in on some other classes. I sat in on a kind of a roughly college level business English, fairly upper level English course that my girlfriend was taking, and the guy there was a local, and he didn't need any help. I mean, pronunciation was pretty much pitch perfect. But the problem is, there is this cultural bias over there that they absolutely do not want. They do not want Chinese people. They don't want anyone who looks Asian teaching their children. I've heard that complaint. That is one of the weirdest moments. When I was working in Chongqing at the private English center, one of the teachers was this young woman from England who was of, I'm guessing, some kind of Southeast Asian extraction. And the parents would actually is so great. The parents were all rich, really rich people there. They'd bring an interpreter to yell at us. And one of them complained because the parents were claiming she had an Asian accent. Bullshit. She had basically a very prim and proper English accent, but again, she just couldn't. You run into that all the time. I remember there was this guy I knew who was over in the South who, serious overachiever, really shouldn't have had any problem finding a job, but he did because he was of Vietnamese ancestry, so no one would hire him. They won't hire anyone. It doesn't matter that he's American. It doesn't matter that he was born in the United States, that he speaks English as a first language without any hint of an accent, got the same non-regional diction as me. It doesn't matter. They see that he looks Asian, and that's enough. And it is just looking Asian, because I've heard this happen to people, for instance, a lot of people from the especially from like southern Russia, that get mistaken for Asian. That happens to them all the time. And that is, it's awful. And I've seen them quite overt, and I've seen ads that outright say that only Caucasians are wanted. And it's just, that is seriously the only reason. It's a selling point. Having foreign teachers is a selling point, but they don't need us. The only reason they need us is for marketing purposes. And I knew that was the case in the learning centers. I guess I thought it was different in the public schools. Clearly, I was wrong. Really, if you talk to anyone about programs like these, or any of those like volunteerism, damn it, I hate when they do stuff like that, but those volunteer programs people do, is, you know what? What they really need is they need to get foreigners to teach the local teachers so the local teachers can teach the kids. And that's what I would have wanted to do, because it meant I could work with adults, and more importantly, I could work with adults who wanted to work with me. But that's not the way it is. So I guess that ends up being my final word to anyone who'd ever consider doing this opportunity of a lifetime bullshit. Yeah, there's a big market for it, but you need to realize what you're actually doing. You're not going over there to teach. You're going over there to sell yourself and to sell the company. And I just really wish I would have known that before going over again. And like I said, I didn't care for the job, but I thought I was getting some interest with the students. You know, the student, here's, I guess, what my problem is. The way I judge whether or not a class was successful or not is whether the students seem to learn in the future. Again, 2 weeks per lesson. So if the second lesson, they're more confident and better than they were in the first lesson, I count that as a success. I actually talked to one of the administrators at my company. One of them said flat out that whether or not the students learned was not their only factor in determining whether a class was a success. And that, I don't understand it. I don't understand it, and I'm becoming increasingly convinced I never will. There are just business practices in some of these countries that are just fully alien to me. I don't get business in my country, but it's just worse in some places, and I just don't get it. I guess that's my last word. If I had to summarize it in one thing, it's just this. Just be prepared for anything. If you go, it's not going to be like home. It's not going to be like home at all, and if you get lost and confused, and you probably will unless you're incredibly lucky, that's all that waits for you. I don't want to say no, though, because some people have this work out for them just fine. And I think maybe part of it is just I've had an abnormal string of bad luck over these past few years. But it's just you got to be so, so careful with that. And the biggest problem to me, and I've said this many, many, many times, I've written about it, is, again, it's always being sold as this great opportunity to see the world and to broaden your horizons. And you cannot look at it like that. You have to look at it as work. That's always how I looked at it, is this is a job. I am being paid to do something for this company. It just happens to involve me living overseas. And that's really the only way you can look at it if you don't want to have bad experience. Well, that wasn't so bad. I made through that without cursing more than a few times. I guess that was a success. It, believe me, if I would have done this right after I came off the plane, it would have been intermittent yelling and sobbing. That was pretty much the state I was. And I just need to get past that. Now, in terms, since we're at the end of what I wanted to talk about in the show, I'd like to talk about the show itself. I'm not sure if I'm going to keep doing this. I don't want this to come across like it's a comeback and I'm going to be doing these forever. I just don't. The problem I have with doing the show, I talked about this a little bit when I posted that last week in August, is I feel like I've kind of lost my way. Originally, the intent of this is I was doing this for a website where I was posting some material, and it was basically kind of a nerd culture website type of place. And I was hoping that I could introduce the audience to some current events and some serious science, and maybe get them interested in some of the things like that, as opposed to all the pop culture stuff. And it didn't really... Part of the problem was I'm not so sure I was doing that. I'm not so sure I was ever doing that, and I especially lost track of it near the end. I kind of just ended up using the show as an excuse to bitch about what I liked, whatever I felt like bitching about that week. And that's fine, and I enjoyed doing it. But I do feel like I lost my way a little bit in terms of the subject material and in terms of just a lot of the way the show went. I think I just kind of lost track of what I was doing. It started to turn into more a general politics show, and I don't think the internet needs more of those. I think there are already enough people doing blogs and FOD podcasts and videos and other things like that on politics. You don't need to hear my voice. I don't have anything new to say. One of the things that, you know, I haven't actually listened back to my old podcast in a while, and I think I probably really should. A lot of these things, unfortunately, I admit, just reading what other people said, and then adding in a little bit of my own opinion, but not enough to really make it my own material, which really went against what I was trying to do in the first place. So whether or not I start doing these again is going to depend on a few things. First of all, it's going to depend on whether or not I can come up with topics of interest. I've kind of moved beyond, again, the trying to get the nerds interested in politics. I'm not going to do that again, because, again, frankly, I wasn't doing such a good job of that in the first place. And second, it's going to depend on me finding material that my audience does like. And third, it's going to depend on me getting into a schedule of sorts where this doesn't bear too hard on me. That was the single biggest mistake I made with this damn thing, was when I tried to do this into a weekly. It was not supposed to be a weekly. It will not be a weekly in the future. It could just be at random. I'd like to get into some kind of schedule, maybe a really light schedule, like every 3 weeks. Or with maybe merge two things in the middle. I could also go back to doing like the short ones. The short ones, I did two of those, and those were kind of interesting. A lot easier to do. I tended to get a little bit more traffic on those because of the length, I suppose. I realize that not everyone's going to want to listen to someone ramble on for 20 to 30 minutes. So really, just don't necessarily call it a comeback here. You'll no doubt see over the coming weeks, if I decide to keep doing this as a regular feature, you'll see more of this stuff pop up. Obviously, again, the easiest way to do this, like I said in the last video, is just subscribe. I'll be putting these. I'm going to stick with YouTube and Blip for these. I'll go ahead and put it up on both. I know Blip has finally added a proper subscription model, so I guess you can subscribe to me over there too. So until whenever we meet again, this is D signing out.